Would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Nathaniel.
I'm Keely.
What band are you in?
Dead Soft.
All right, there you go. As opposed to Dead Soft, which would have sounded really friggin' weird. Okay, I was in British Columbia last summer. In fact, I stayed in Victoria and then went to Vancouver. Victoria's lovely. There's a killer record shop there. 2011-ish is when you started. New label, new lineup.
Keely and I go way back. Like way, way back. Mm-hmm. You don't get that too often.
No.
Like, where?
Okay, ready? I heard that the two of you go way, way back.
Back to probably 2004.
Yep. Wow. Yep. We grew up in a small fishing town near the Alaskan Panhandle called Prince Rupert, BC.
See, this is not there either.
Yeah. And we started playing music together. I'm a couple years older than him, but we started playing music together almost as soon as we met, and then moved down south and kept going and built toward Dead Soft, and then started that band in 2011, figured out what we wanted to do.
Were there a lot of bands prior to?
Not really. Like, we each were in different rock and roll bands
in high school.
And then we played kind of folky kinds of music together, and then, yeah, decided we wanted to take a punk angle.
From Dylan to Dead Kennedys.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah, from Dylan to the Ramones or something like that, yeah.
There you go. Okay, let's talk about Vancouver versus that island that you've moved to. But the way that you describe Vancouver as an urban environment compared to so many urban environments, I was there, I didn't see it as all that painful, but you do talk about the, and I can say the British word, I can't say the actual American word, you describe like shite rat infested apartments.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, making a living and living in Vancouver after growing up in a fishing place.
Yes. It was sort of like living paycheck to paycheck, which it's not that bad when you're young. It was a hustle for sure, but yeah, it's sort of more like what you can get for the money you earn, I think, is like the kind of apartments you can get even if you work a full-time, pretty good job, which I'm sure is similar in California in general, but mostly here.
Yeah.
You can't stretch your dollar very far. You're living in a tiny space, cluttered, rodents.
Especially when you start trying to go on tour or do anything like that or put any money towards anything besides eating and living, then it becomes pretty difficult. And I think there's a lot of great artists and musicians in Vancouver who are, I don't know, maybe limited by
well, everybody's ditching Williamsburg. I mean, do you wake up in the morning and go, well, okay, we're all the way out here and it's just us and, you know, we've got our HQ and we can record, which we'll get to, but man, there's only one movie theater at best, if there is one. Do you miss any of the creature comforts of the quote big city?
Absolutely. Like, there are times when you wish you could just like walk to the corner store and buy a pack of smokes or something, but I think that the good definitely outweighs the bad living out there.
I rarely miss it. I can't really remember many times at all. Yeah. I mean, I still have to go into the city to work a bit, so I think maybe that's the reason, but I don't know. I couldn't be happier with the decision, really.
And there's a landscaping company also. So is the landscaping company kind of like, well, when we're not on tour? Because so many musicians go, well, it's hard to find a gig in between going on tour. But this sounds like the kind of thing where you can schedule people's stuff around it. Is that the case? Is that why you decided to do it? Or do you just love Earth?
Both. I don't know. Landscaping is pretty seasonal, so you can approach it from that angle. And also, yeah, it's nice to work outside. And
I kind of just got into it at a time when I was a lot younger, and it was one of those things where it's like you go from job to job, and one of those jobs just happened to be a landscaping gig. And then I really kind of fell in love with it. I actually love landscaping, and I love horticulture, and I love plants and stuff, so I got kind of nerdy about it, and I'm happy I did because, yeah, it kind of worked out, and especially the place where we live now, there's like a lot of folks that need work and help and stuff like that, and it works out pretty well, and yeah.
But I'm looking at the two of you, and you seem pretty damn relatively happy. But yet, you speak of in various things about mental health issues and stress and all sorts of intensity. So I want to kind of divide this up two ways. Number one was getting out of Dodge. Part of that saying, maybe there'll be less stress overall.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure that it was super successful right away. I think like any adjustment can be stressful in its own way. Mm-hmm. But I do find I sleep a lot better and each day is beautiful and bright. And that helps a lot with mental health issues. And
I think it helped for sure. I also would say that I don't think like Vancouver's the reason that we wrote songs about those types of issues at all. I think that we have a natural sort of interest in something that draws us towards darker things like that, and I don't know why that our art happens to come out in that way, but definitely, I mean, yeah, in terms of us like having a little more pep in our step than
So how do you want to explain it in a way that gives somebody a little bit more insight to what that means?
I'd say that, yeah, getting to 30 and having been doing music and things for a long time and trying to find the work-life balance, work-life music balance, maybe spreading yourself a little bit too thin, like for many, many years. I think that it was sort of like a cumulative...
Kind of just going to add it up and you said enough already, I need a break?
Kind of needed a break, but didn't allow myself or ourselves to have a break. Yeah, just wondering where it was going and stuff like that, like having to, you know, every time we would tour, you'd kind of zero out your bank account and get home, like kind of reeling, wondering, what the hell are we doing? But then the music itself is what we're doing, and that always makes it worth it. So, yeah, finding that balance.
And in terms of, like, mental health issues, and I think that also has also just always been there.
Yeah.
Because that is kind of, like, who we are.
Yeah.
And we do, you know, battle with stuff like that. But also, like you said, I've always kind of liked the idea of, like, putting an angle on it or having, like, a bit of light at the end of the tunnel or a little sparkle in the darkness.
So how do you feel about the fact that you have to still label yourself? And that in this day and age, with the current generation, not only do you have to label yourself, but you have to put a label, and I want you to talk about this too, put a label on the label on the label over the label.
Oh, it's a huge pain in the arse, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Having to put yourself in a basket, because I think especially with us, we don't really fall under one umbrella.
Well, I'm listening to the new single, and we'll get to it in a second, but that ain't nowhere near grunge.
No, not at all.
That ain't nowhere near grunge.
Yeah, but you have to kind of put a stamp on everything to make people even care about
you. Do you, though? Do you?
Like, maybe if someone likes Nirvana, or they like Weezer, or they like the Pixies, they would maybe like...
Goofy. It's kind of all over the place, and all the terms that we use, like, have different like meanings for different people, and you kind of just throw a few on there to try to steer people's
I know, unfortunately there's a place on social media where you have to put it
but it is pretty random, and you just kind of like try to do it in a way that will give someone a rough idea of where you're coming from, I guess. And
okay, so where did the two of you get the concept of hooks, get the concept of a middle eight? Actually, I didn't ask you. And nowhere do I know. Formal training. Where'd you learn to do what you do?
I started playing guitar when I was like in my early teens. I took lessons for a while from a guy who I mainly just like taught me songs that I wanted to learn, which I think is, I mean, I can't read music or anything like that, but I think I'm happy I learned the way I did, because I just learned just like whatever song I was obsessed with at the time, I'd learn how to play it and sing it. And I think at a certain point, I just started like making up melodies on my own. And I've always been obsessed with pop and like the Beatles, but also heavier music. And eventually it just kind of all melded together. And I always have a song stuck in my head.
Yeah, we had actually the same guitar teacher in our very small town. I started playing guitar when I was like 15. Wow. And I play bass in this band. But yeah, I was in like high school band. Like I played like saxophone and tuba, so I can read music a little bit. But that's definitely... has nothing to do with my musical life anymore. But yeah, that's the only formal training I've had. It's just guitar lessons, same.
Yeah, but that's lessons. That's still not self-taught. What is the filter for this band's songs? How do you know when you write a song?
Yeah, I think it's something for me anyway, because I do write songs that aren't Dead Soft songs, and I do. There is a point in the process where I have to decide. So I think it's something definitely in the melody, and it's something kind of going back to what you were talking about, like the Tootsie Roll. It has to have like that balance between darkness and light, and like a certain kind of direction. I feel like like the kind of grunge rhythm or punk rhythm. It has to hit.
Has to have like a spark.
Yeah.
Yeah, spark or a sparkle.
Recording in the living room. Is this like Pro Tools with some mics, or is this GarageBand? What? How far do you take it in the living room? Like those harmonies that I just heard on the new single, which we're going to get to in a second. How much do you bring into the studio? Because, you know, you obviously don't have a producer. You just have a mixer,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. In terms of that song in the living room is pretty basic. It's like Logic, a two-channel interface and a couple mics. I think everything was just one mic at a time, actually.
Well, and lots of tracks.
And then lots of tracks. There's not too much to that one, though.
But in general, overall, you know, is this a kind of an economical decision? Because you have a label deal, so they give you at least 64 cents for recording, right? If you want it. I'm not making fun of the label. I know how these deals work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can apply the money several ways. You get an advance, you can say, oh, well, we can eat with it, or we can go to a fancy studio. But you've made decisions.
Well, we actually, like the rest of the record that will be coming out, I think, end of summer, was recorded in a studio. We kind of just kind of mishmash things and add things from home if we feel like we want to.
So it's not really your goal to record in your living room.
No.
So the new record, when you were talking about it, and this is not, tell me about the songs on the new record, because we're not there yet, but is it done, number one?
Yeah, essentially.
Done and mastered?
Not mastered. Okay, maybe it's not 100% done, but it's pretty much, it's like 90% done. When we get home from this tour, we're going to kind of lay the final mix tweaks on it and then send it off to get mastered.
Yeah. So what did you, just short version, what did the two of you say to each other as you were going into this after all these years? Did you say, okay, we've moved to the island, we're getting things together, we've got our new band members. What did you say that when people hear this are going to go, you know, and a couple of singles that'll probably come out before the album comes out, I would imagine. What did you say to each other? Did you look at each other and go, well, I want to shake it up? What did you say?
Yeah, we wanted to keep moving forward. Like, there's definitely more kind of dynamic, low-key songs like The Static that you've heard. But I think we wanted to make a big, shiny record. Yeah.
Yeah, and like, I think playing with different dynamics is something we've always wanted to do, but because we were kind of, you know, you're playing 20-minute sets, you know, you can't really, there's not that much space to open it up to other influences all the time. And I think we've always been wanting to do that. And we're using this record as a chance to kind of smash open some doors and do things exactly how we want.
Fans be damned.
Hopefully not.
They'll understand.
They'll understand. I hope.
Attention, fans of this band. You will understand. See, I've commanded it, and if Dennis the Menace commands it, let me tell you, through all these years, I can affect things. Being on Arts and Crafts, there, as far as Canadian labels go, there's only a couple, them, maybe Dine Alone, a couple of others that are kind of rock royalty. Did they come after you?
Yeah, it's been really, really nice. It was a really sweet treat to be able to, talk to those people and join that label. And it's been so dreamy, for sure. Like, it's been a wonderful experience. It's been, a totally new experience for us being on a label like that. And, yeah, I can't wait to see, like, where it goes and how this experience of putting out this record goes and stuff. Like, yeah.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then you get to play whatever you want in between.